This morning, we're going to finish up the series, Raised to Life, that we began before Easter. For the last month, we have been taking a closer look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. For 2 weeks, we looked at the historical evidence of the resurrection, and we asked ourselves the question, did Jesus really rise from the dead? Because that may be the most important question that every single one of us must answer for ourselves. Did he come back to life or not? The answer to that question changes everything. And then we took a look at the life of Peter, and we asked ourselves the question, what does the resurrection mean for people like you and me? Because for people like Peter, the resurrection meant that he was no longer identified by his biggest mistake or by his greatest pain. Because Jesus was raised back to life, it proved that Jesus had the power to breathe life back into all the dead parts of Peter's life. Last week on Easter, we came together and we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. And today, as we conclude this series, we do so by asking the question, what happens next? What do we do with the resurrection now? So let's begin this morning by looking at what happened next. Here is what happened last week on Easter morning. We read this in the Gospel of Luke. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." 3 days after Jesus died on the cross, the tomb that he was buried in was found to be empty. So these women who found the empty tomb, they go and they tell the disciples what they have just seen. But the disciples of Jesus, they didn't believe them. Because remember, they watched Jesus die on the cross. They watched them bury Jesus in the tomb, and they know you don't come back from that. It wasn't until on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for the fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, Jesus showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So these disciples, after seeing for themselves with their own eyes that Jesus was alive, they now believe that he was raised back to life from the power of God. So what happens next? What happens after this? Well, the book of Acts tells us that after his suffering, Jesus presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them for over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. So after being killed and raised back to life, Jesus went around preaching about the kingdom of God. Now I'll tell you what, I bet you those were some pretty good sermons right there, don't you think? The ones that Jesus preached in the 40 days after he came back from the dead. I bet you he didn't have to tell a whole lot of funny stories or illustrations to keep people's attention, right? I bet you all he had to do was stand there and say, "You all watched me die. Now what?" Right? Because the guy who just came back from the dead, who said he was going to do it and pulled it off, you listen to what he has to say, don't you? Wouldn't you hang on every single word that Jesus had to say? So what did Jesus say? Well, the Bible tells us that 40 days after his resurrection, Jesus ascended to heaven where he sat down on the right hand of God. But before he left, the Gospel of Matthew tells us the final instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples. Matthew says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.'" So what do you do when the only guy who has ever to come back to life from the dead, what do you do when he tells you to do something? You do it, right? You do exactly what he tells you to do. 10 days after Jesus gave this instruction, his disciples got a chance to do it. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came down onto the followers of Jesus, just like Jesus had told them was going to happen. And this created such a commotion that it got the attention of thousands of people in the city of Jerusalem. And in front of this large crowd of thousands of people, Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and he addressed the crowd, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Now, Peter's a smart dude. He said, "Wait a minute, we just learned this. Jesus just told us what we're supposed to do. What is it? I got it." Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins." And what do you do when the only man who has ever raised himself back to life from the dead tells you to do something? You do it. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So it's now 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead, and thousands of people have just been convinced by the resurrection that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And these thousands of people, they say, "We believe that Jesus is risen from the dead," and they ask the very same question that we are asking this morning. Now, what do we do with it? What do we do with the resurrection now? And these disciples tell them, "You do exactly what Jesus said. You get baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now imagine this picture. 3,000 people getting baptized together in the city of Jerusalem. Imagine what this must have looked like to the rest of the people in the city. What's going on down by the river? A swim party? No, they call it baptism. Well, what's a baptism? Have you ever wondered what baptism is? Why do we do it? Where did it come from? What does it mean? Well, maybe we should spend some time talking about it, because we did put it in our name, right? Peter's Creek Baptist Church. And it is the thing, the response that all the people who believed in the resurrection of Jesus did. Once they believed that Jesus was raised from the dead, they got baptized. So maybe we should talk about baptism this morning. So what is baptism? Well, baptism is that thing we do sometimes where we dunk people completely underwater in front of everybody. But if you were to ask somebody in the first century at the time of Jesus what baptism was, they might tell you something a little different. They might say, well, baptism means to immerse, to plunge, to dip something underwater. And that's what the word literally meant. The word was often used to talk about common, ordinary, everyday things like dipping dishes into water to clean them. But in the time of Jesus, this word also carried with it a religious connotation. In the Jewish faith, there was various washings and cleansing ceremonies, and sometimes this word baptism was used to describe that. But this word baptism, it took on a whole new meaning and a whole new practice after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. The Apostle Paul explains it like this in the book of Romans. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. Now, here in the book of Romans, Paul is painting a picture of what Christian baptism represents. Paul says that in the same way that Jesus died and was buried and then 3 days later was raised to life, Paul says that when a person gets baptized, that baptism associates them with the death and resurrection of Jesus and everything that comes with it. So here is the picture that Paul is painting about baptism. See if you can see it. Now, we all believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, not his, and at his death he was buried in a tomb. We all believe this, right? Well, in baptism, we go completely under the water, symbolically expressing that Jesus' death was our death. He was buried in a tomb. We are buried under the water. But 3 days later, Jesus came up out of the grave, raised to life by the power of God, overcoming all of the effects of death, having new life. And we believe this, right? This is what we've been talking about for the whole month. We believe that Jesus was raised to life. In the same way, in baptism, when we come up out of the water, we are expressing that because of Jesus' resurrection, the old me can stay buried. All of my sins have been put to death. And just as Jesus was raised to life, being freed from death, we too are raised to a new life, having been freed from our sin. And the Bible tells us that the same power of the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is alive, making us into new creations. That's the picture of baptism that Paul paints here in the book of Romans. Do you see it? When we get baptized, we are buried with him in his death, and we are raised to new life in his resurrection. Do you see it? Let me give you a simple definition of baptism that we often use around here. It goes like this. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. When we get baptized, we are publicly declaring what we believe has already spiritually occurred within us when we put our faith in Jesus. It isn't the act of baptism that saves us. We often tell people before we baptize them that there isn't anything magical about this. It's just tap water in a big bathtub. That's all that it is. What makes baptism special is the truth that baptism expresses. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Putting your faith in Jesus and his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins, that is what saves you. Baptism is taking that personal spiritual confession and making it public. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. Now, why do we do that? Why do we make it public? Why do we make it outward? And why do we have to do it like that? Why do we have to dunk people in front of the whole congregation? Well, the simple answer is because Jesus said so. And I'm with the disciples. When the only guy who's ever raised himself from the dead tells you to do something, you just do it. Whether it's shave your head, paint yourself blue, get baptized. He was dead. He's alive. He said to get baptized, so we're baptizing, right? That's the simple answer. But why do we do it the way that we do it here at Peter's Creek? Complete immersion under the water in front of all of these people. Well, the explanation for our tradition of baptism isn't very complicated. We baptize the way that we do because we believe that's how it's taught in the scriptures. Again, this word baptize literally means to plunge, to dip, to immerse something under the water. So that's what we do. We plunge, we dip, and we immerse people under the water. Throughout the New Testament, we read about baptism and we see evidence that the physical act of baptism was that of completely putting people under the water. If you remember John, who was called John the Baptist, not because of what church he goes to, but because of what he did, he baptized people. When we read about John's baptism, it says that they were baptized by him, John, in the Jordan River. Not beside the Jordan River, not with water from the Jordan River, but in the Jordan River. When Jesus himself was baptized by John, the book of Mark says that he came up out of the water. The fact that John and Jesus went into the water and then came up out of the water suggests this was the way that baptism occurred. And this makes sense to passages like this in John that says John was baptizing at Aenon near Salim because there was much water there. You need much water if you're going to baptize a bunch of people in it. And baptism by immersion is consistent with the symbolic picture of being buried with Jesus in his death and then being raised to life through his resurrection. So this is why we do baptism the way we do here at Peter's Creek. But why do we have to do it in front of all of these people? We believe that baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. We believe that when you put your faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, you are saved. And baptism is taking that confession and making it public. And I think that there's something meaningful about making it public. I heard a pastor from North Carolina tell a story. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to borrow the story because I couldn't tell it better myself. This pastor said he has a member of his congregation who is a professional football player. And this football player invited the pastor and his family to go to a game and sit in his seats with his family. And this pastor talks about what it was like to be at the stadium watching thousands and thousands of people cheer for his friend. And he said not only were the people cheering for his friend, but they were wearing his jersey. And so he had a chance to talk to this football player and ask him, what was it like to have all these people wearing your jersey? And the football player responded, yeah, they're wearing my jersey this week, but they might not be wearing it next week. Because if he has a bad game, if they lose, maybe next week they're going to show up with somebody else's jersey on. We know what that's like in Pittsburgh, right? You can get a Mike Wallace jersey at TJ Maxx for like 10 bucks right now. But this pastor said that when he was at the game, sitting next to this football player's wife, he noticed that she wasn't wearing his jersey. She was wearing his ring. And there's a difference. Everybody's wearing the jersey when things are going well. Everybody's wearing the jersey when the team is winning. There are a lot of people who love to put the jersey on one day a week. But she wears the ring. And wearing the ring means that she is with him in the good times and in the bad times. It means that she is with him when they're winning and they're losing. Wearing the ring means I am with him no matter what. And this pastor said that baptism is saying, I'm with Jesus and I wear the ring, not the jersey. Baptism is saying, I'm with Jesus and it's not just on Sundays. It's not just when things are going well. It's not just when Jesus gives me what I want. Baptism is saying, I'm with Jesus because he's the only one who died for my sins and was raised back to life 3 days later so that I would have new life. Baptism is saying, I'm with Jesus, and I want everybody to know that the old me is gone and there is a new me being created by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, making me into something new. Baptism is saying loud and clear, I wear the ring because I'm with Jesus. So are you with Jesus? And you say, well, yeah, Dusty, I'm with Jesus. I'm here, aren't I? But baptism, well, before all of our reasons and our excuses, I want to show you a story. In Acts chapter 9, we find the story of the conversion of the Apostle Paul, who used to be called Saul before his life was changed. This guy Saul was an enemy of Jesus and was actually on his way to persecute the followers of Jesus. And then one day we read this. Suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, he replied. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. So Paul has a personal encounter with the resurrected Jesus. The same Jesus that he thought was just another false teacher who got exactly what he deserved when he was crucified by the Romans. And now this same Jesus is talking to him. For 3 days, Paul is blind. He doesn't eat. He doesn't drink anything because everything that he once believed has been turned upside down. So God sends a guy named Ananias to Paul to explain to him what has happened to him and to tell him the truth about Jesus. We read this. Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now check this out. The biggest enemy of Jesus, after being convinced of the resurrection of Jesus, he gets baptized to declare, "I'm with Jesus," before he even takes any food or water. Did you notice that part? He hasn't eaten anything in 3 days, but the first thing he did in response to his encounter with Jesus is, "Let's get me baptized." Paul says, "I'm so hungry, I can barely have the strength to move. I haven't eaten in 3 days, but first, if what you're telling me is true about Jesus, let me get baptized." So what about you? What are you waiting for? There's another story in Acts about this Ethiopian eunuch who was riding around in his chariot, reading the scriptures, trying to make sense of what they meant. And God sent a guy named Philip to explain the scriptures to him. And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now this guy's driving around on the road, and the moment that he is convinced about the truth about Jesus, he says, "Pull over. I need to get baptized right now, because if this is true, then I'm with Jesus." So what about us? For the last month, we have been investigating and talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, asking ourselves, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And we concluded that if he did in fact rise from the dead, then that means something for you and me. It means that our sins went with him to the cross, and when he came back to life, it was proof that they were really taken care of. And if we believe this is true, I don't know about you, but I'm with Jesus. And Jesus himself instructed his disciples that when people make this confession, when people put their faith in Jesus for the forgiveness of their sin, Jesus himself says, get baptized. Make it public. Stand with Jesus. So what about you? What is keeping you from taking this step and making it public? In 3 weeks, we are going to celebrate baptism together. We're going to celebrate with a bunch of people who are going to stand up in front of everybody and say, I'm with Jesus. If you want to be one of those people, there is a handout in your worship packet that looks like this. If you want to get baptized, if you have questions about baptism, we would encourage you to fill this out and drop it off on your way out, and somebody from the church will be in touch with you. But the truth is, for the last month, we have been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And in the words of Pastor Tim Keller, if Jesus really did rise from the dead, then we have to accept everything that he said. And one of the things that Jesus said was to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we here at Peter's Creek, we want to be obedient to Jesus and do this. So if you've been thinking about baptism, maybe now's your time. Maybe it's time for you to make it public. As the kids say, maybe it's time for you to put a ring on it. Stand with Jesus. As we wrap up this series on the resurrection, let me leave you with these words from Romans. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. We believe in a God who has the power to raise Jesus from the dead. And God says that that same power is alive in us, making us into something new, raising us to new life. Do you believe that? Are you with Jesus? Will you stand with me as we pray? God, we believe that you sent your son Jesus to become one of us and live among us. And we believe that he was crucified by the Romans. We have spent a month investigating and discovering that we believe that the tomb was empty. And we believe that it was by the power of God Jesus was raised back to life just like he said he was going to be. And we believe your gospel when it says he did all of that for us. That we who were far off because of our sin are now forgiven and made new because of Jesus and his death and resurrection. God, we believe this. We also believe that Jesus commanded his followers to go and make disciples, to preach the gospel, to claim the truth about Jesus, of what he said and what he did, and then to baptize them, to stand with Jesus, to make that confession, to live a life with Jesus in every way. God, I pray this morning that in the last month, as we looked at the resurrection, we have been convinced that if we believe in this, then it means something. And we respond in obedience to be baptized, to stand with Jesus, to give him our lives as living sacrifice, because he loved us first, sent his son to die on a cross that we might have life. We believe this, Lord, and we pray all of this in the name of Jesus, our risen Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.